radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 2 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
As you know, I have work that I do with men who are not what we would call Christians. And when I work with them, sometimes I'm set back on my heels when I notice the darkness. This past Thursday was the National Day of Prayer, and kind of bring up the National Day of Prayer in their midst, just, you know, offhandedly, not trying to make a big conversation, just kind of a little conscience. And when I did that, it was funny to see how the language got worse. And the spirit got harder in the room. There was a darkening of the heart because of the knowledge. And yet there was one fella who kind of pulled back away from the table that the greater group was sitting around that I was not. Just the way it landed in the morning that day. And he began to say, yeah, he says, are you going to have a Bible study tonight? And I said, yeah, I am. And he says, oh, yeah. Man, I used to go, and he says, I need to get back and do that. And it was like that one heart. And you just don't know what God's doing. But I know this. I know that we're supposed to be looking for what God's doing. And sadly, in my heart of hearts, as a pastor, perhaps one of the things that burdens my soul more than anything in our day is that it's hard to see that going on in a very wide way. In other words, I'd like to see more of us across the nation, across the world, who understood that every day they walk out their door, there is a mission before them, that they're supposed to have their mind around the idea of being ambassadors for Christ. And because of that, and because of another radio broadcast I heard this past week, I felt led to bring to you a message from 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, and it will be larger than chapter 5, so, you know, I just want you to keep your Bible open. You'll be flipping back and forth to a few pages right there, because I want to give you a little bit of context as we go through. But if you immediately look at chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, we then as workers together with Him, Jesus, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And so I've titled the message this morning, Empty Grace, because the word vain means without any depth. The idea for us in the word vain is empty. And so I've entitled the message, Empty Grace. And I want us to really allow ourselves to ask questions about who we are. If we are God's children, is it true that somewhere down in our heart of hearts that we look at the world differently than perhaps the guy standing next to us who does not know the Lord? The Bible says in the book of Psalms, God is not in all of their thoughts. And I would suggest that as believers, God should be in all of our thoughts. The Bible says, in God's law we meditate day and night. So, you know, that's Psalm 1. That's right. That's the opening gate to the book of Psalms. And it talks about the fact that God is supposed to be in the fabric of everything we are. It's not a nice little addendum to our life that we believe in Jesus. It is our life. He is our life. Okay? He said, I am the life. And when I come to know Him, I've been made alive. Back in chapter 5, the run-in to what we're going to talk about to get to chapter 6 begins this way. In verse 1 it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for this self-same thing is God. Now, what is he saying God has wrought us for? He's wrought us for this mortality being swallowed up and we being clothed upon with glory. Do you see how cool that is? And yet, it's not the end of the story as far as what he's going to talk about. But it's the end of the story of what should compel us and should control us and what should make us to be on call for our Lord Jesus. You, who know the Lord Jesus, are going to be clothed upon amazingly. And it's going to be a day from which there will be no return. Once it's done, it's good. The die is cast. We're home. And there will be nothing but good and sweet to be enjoyed. I think that's amazing. And I think sometimes what happens to us is that we forget. And this congregation hears me talk about it a lot because it means a lot to me. It means the world to me. I personally look for and hasten unto the coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the hope. And the hope is what drives me forward. It's what keeps me looking when I'm in the midst of a bunch of guys who could be antagonistic in some way to my faith. And when I see this passage, it brings to mind the fact that Paul had a great burden in his heart. And it wasn't just the groaning that he talks about here. No, he says in chapter 1 that he had despaired of life, he had the sentence of death. He was overwhelmed by the burdens of ministry and of life as he had experienced it to that point. The people that he had ministered to for some 18 months, he had to write a letter to with a list of problems after he had left. And then in 2 Corinthians, he's telling them, I was going to come, but I didn't. Why? Because I was so bummed. I was depressed. Now, for you and for me, we live in a generation where depression is a no-no. You can't have that. But no, Paul was depressed, and he didn't call it a sin, and he didn't call it a shortcoming. What he said was, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. We had the sentence of death. And God's the one who raises the dead. And what he does is he talks about, because of all of this hope, all of this movement of God in his life and in the lives of believers, he says, for this cause we faint not. Now, some Christians don't faint, but they many times don't ever engage. So they don't have anything to faint over. And for us, we want to make sure that we're on the same page with God. Why? Well, because it's the right thing to do, first of all, and obviously, but also because it animates your Christian life. You're going to see that in this passage as we go forward. But look back at verse 1. He says, we know. And I wonder if you know this, that we know that this earthly body is going to one day dissolve and we're going to have a building in heaven. Do you know that the tabernacle of your body is going to change? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God. This mortality is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. I mean, this is cool stuff, okay? This is what we signed up for. We might have in the beginning thought, I don't want to go to hell. And that's a good motive. That's a good place to start because that's the alternative. You're either going to be swallowed up of life or you're going to be swallowed up of eternal, everlasting death. That's going to be the two options. But what I want you to recognize is that that's okay. You know, hell, that's a good motivation. You want to avoid that. But there's also the motivation that we want to be free. Free from an empty life. Free from a meaningless existence. And I'm not saying God has a wonderful plan for your life and you ought to get saved for that, but He does. Okay? He really does. And it's sad for me to very rarely in the run-of-the-mill day-to-day life existence that you and I share on the streets and the highways and byways, it's sad for me that I don't find more people who are really lit up for God. And what I want you to know is it always blesses my heart when I'm in a restaurant and I see somebody pray over their food. That's about the biggest illustration I get that somebody's truly a child of God, that they're unashamed to pray over their food. And it might not mean that they're saved either. I'm just hoping that's true, because some people pray over their food who are not necessarily born again. But I want you to know that it should be so that in America, especially, we ought to be much about Jesus. I think we got a lot of problems in America because we're not, like we once were, much about Jesus. We don't have each other's back as maybe we once did because we're not as familiar with each other. But God knows us. And that's really enough. It really is. It was said of Jesus that he committed himself to no man because he knew what was in man. Sometimes you commit yourself to some people and you don't know them very well. They might betray you. They might, as they say in these days in the vernacular, they might bust you out. You shared your weakness and they started talking about it with everybody else. And so sometimes we're a little skittish and we don't want to share. And so when we talk about the wealthy man as the one who has at least one good friend you can just share with. But see, we want to be the people who understand that the goal of our existence is that one day we are going to be swallowed up, as it were, of life. And we're going to have immortality. It's going to be a good thing in verse 4. He says, we know this. We got a building, a house in verse 1. We groan, verse 2. In verse 4, he says, in this tabernacle, we do groan, being burdened. And that's okay, is what I'm trying to say to you. Paul said, despair of life, sentence of death, it's okay. And in fact, we need to embrace it because it is that reality in us that sets us apart. Because the world is as it were, celebrating their emptiness. They're celebrating the futility. They're celebrating that which really is going to not end well for them. And that bothers me. It troubles me. I believe it. And therefore I sigh. And therefore I cry sometimes over people. You have fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and cousins and nephews and nieces. And if you just start there, it's enough to break your heart. And the world is very enticing. And it shapeshifts all the time, right? I mean, there's always something new to get your attention. Always something to distract from the reality. We are in a day of great deception. But he says, we know what's going on. Verse 5 says, now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. He wrought us. That means he created us. You know, the Bible says we are new creatures in Christ, new creations. I mean, being Christ, this passage goes to say in verse 17, he's a new creation. He wrought us for immortality, this amazing prospect. What an amazing God we serve, who has put on the agenda that one day we are going to shine like the sun. Okay, it's going to be a good day. And the Bible says, now he who wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The word earnest is the pledge. You've heard earnest money. If you're going to buy a house, you put down some earnest money. If you don't go through, you lose the money, right? In the Greek, it has that kind of an idea. It's a pledge. And it's a kind of pledge like we're familiar with. It actually has a connection to an engagement. It means that if God doesn't go through with the agreement that he has set in motion, that he has to give up the pledge. Like you have to give up the earnest. It's the pledge, and God is not going to give up himself because we messed up or we stumbled. That's important for us to know, because we do not follow Jesus and serve Jesus because he's got a whip that he's cracking behind us saying, you need to move, you need to get with the program, and I'm very disgusted with you.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.